And so from there, I'm going to be standing in for my student, Olumide Olorunisowo. He was at Morgan for 2 years for his MPH. He's a physician in Nigeria, and he we found work for him for his internship with the Teamsters Union. He looked at OSHA 300 logs. We tried to get him back in the country. The Teamsters was willing to pay for him to return. He's from Nigeria. So, and we did all kinds of letter writing and everything early on, but he did not get a visa from the United States in order to come back. So unfortunately, I'm standing in for him. So, the definition of municipal waste, it's garbage from residential, commercial, institutional, industrial sources, and you see the basic categories there. Now, municipal waste should not be medical waste, toxic waste, or other waste that qualify as hazmat. So if you had the municipal waste, then you should have these categories and not anything else. We know sometimes that may be different. The process is a waste management. It starts with every one of us, the generation of trash. And over the years, the United States has a huge amount of trash that we generate. The collection of that trash is important. Transportation, sorting of that trash, and then disposal, which includes recycling and incineration and landfilling. Now, the highest waste generation in the developed world is the United States. We have the highest waste generation. There are 200,000 municipal solid waste workers in the US, and it's the fifth most dangerous occupation according to the BLS. We're 10 times more likely to die on the job, and there's been a 60% increase per capita of waste from 1989 to 2004. So to appreciate the public health burden of solid waste management, let's look at some of the facts. Okay, I wasn't moving the slides. So you have 229.9 million tons of trash from 2001 to 500 million tons of waste in 2004. 50% of the workers do 10.5 to 12 hours a day shifts, 6 days a week. They lift objects over 50 pounds, more than 40 times per hour, and the injuries affect almost all parts of the body. The work-related injuries, 10% have visited in the ER, and 1 in 6 had surgery. So, to determine the prevalence, some of the purpose of this study that Olu did was to determine the prevalence and pattern of occupational injuries and illnesses, to fill some of the knowledge gaps, and to raise awareness about the high incidence of occupational injuries. The U.S., being the largest generator of waste, has little studies in this area. Mainly, most of the studies are done in Europe, including Denmark. So, this is part of the scientific basis for this study from 2003 to 2007. It's a retrospective, non-randomized, something very easy to do, looking at all of the OSHA 300 logs, 300A, 301 logs that the Teamsters had in their files. This included 1,895 employees with 37 establishments in 11 states. And the response rate was 88%. So these are some of the measures that Olu reviewed: the job description, days away from work, type of injury and illness, mechanism of injury, affected body part, the DART rate, and also the total recordable cases. So this is what he found. And the next few that you'll see will be a list of charts. So if we look at this, we have the study company with the total recordable cases, the days away from work, and the days on the job restriction or transfer, if you look at the private industry, And in each case, in most of them, you'll see the study company, which was all those companies that were under the Teamsters, when we didn't identify the companies, but they were under the Teamsters union group. They were higher than any other category. Private industry, the same. Manufacturing, the total recordable cases were the same. Construction, you can see all of them are higher. I knew you were going to ask that, and I thought I had looked it up, but I'll have to see if I can find it.
No,
days?
I can find it on the bottom.
Is it?
Well, it's the days
of the sum of the two.
What is it?
Oh, the sum of the
time. Is it, what is it? Tom, sum of?
Labor from work and days on
return. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Good. So.
Dirt on dark.
Huh? What did you say? I'm sorry, Jen. Okay, yeah, dirt on dark. There you go. So the comparison of the dart rate between the waste management injuries and the major industries. So this is the chart that he created. Waste management is higher from 2003 down to the incidence rate for 2007. See, I think waste management is where you are, you've got to, go on, Mary, if you know.
Well, it may be at the site, not at the collection, but at the, where they sort.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things that go on at the actual sorting
facility. Yeah.
Okay, good. Help me out. Okay. So, cause of injury. I do know the major cause of injury in this case was lifting, followed by, they couldn't determine, that's indeterminate, but I probably wouldn't have said that, but this is a study. Contact with objects was 10%, and the slips or trips was higher. That's the top. And when you look at it in this box, you see that lifting is still high, slips and trips, and also contacts with objects, followed by alcopod, body posture, which is interesting. And fall to a lower level. Now, body part, the back from the lifting is the first. And then the hand was the second, I believe, yeah. And then the next was the shoulder. The back again, and this is just another way of looking at it. Drivers, for the job description of injured employees, 78.81% the percentage for drivers. And then these were probably job titles that showed up in the OSHA 200 logs, right? 300. I'm from the old school, 200, so 300s now. And then you see laborer and then mechanic seem to have a higher total recordable cases, and then operators.
Can I just wanted to comment? Sure. With, I cover CSEA, mm-hmm. Civil Service Employees in New York State, Jeff Hyman. And a lot of times when they're collecting refuse, the driver gets out of the truck.
Yes.
So that could be included
in this. That's right. Yeah. I've seen that.
Because they're doing both. They're driving.
And then they go out and help.
As well, so.
Right.
Yeah, most of the mechanical stuff that's done is done one person in a truck.
Really?
At least in California.
California and a lot of other places too.
Wow.
So everybody's a driver.
Yes.
But most of the time you're humble.
Yeah, you're doing everything else.
Yeah.
Right. The helper seems like it's pretty high too. For the total recordables. So this is another way of looking at it. And these are the states. You know, there were 11 states where they had the data on recordable injuries, and so Massachusetts had the highest, Pennsylvania, state of Washington, Indiana, Michigan.
Excuse me.
The incidence rate by state, again, this is just another way of looking at it.
Could you just go back to that again, because you showed the waste management and the, no.
That one?
No.
Okay, let me see if it's going to do
it.
I got it?
Keep going. Go next.
That one.
No. No, the last one you were on.
That wasn't it.
No, keep going forward.
Forward.
Sorry, keep going.
You're going backwards.
Am I going backwards again?
Yeah.
That's it?
No, there.
Ah, okay.
That's just, it's
waste management, solid waste collection, comparison between the two, right?
Yeah.
Now, waste management does not include solid waste collection, even though that's part of waste management?
No, this is just the trash, according to...
Waste management, you said, is the...
The collection of...
Facilities.
Yes.
Transfer stations, basically.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay, thank you. I just wanted to see that distinction there for a second.
And then total recordable cases versus similar major industries. And he looked at the solid waste collection versus private industry, manufacturing, construction, and truck transportation. Still highest for waste management, except for solid waste collection in 2007. Of the total recordables. So, sprains and strains seem to be the highest for the nature of the injury, followed by bruises and contusions, and then cuts and lacerations. By season, it seems like the winter months had the, or spring, actually it's spring. It's spring, 27, yeah. So, this is what Alu identified as some of the strengths of the study versus some of the limitations. He had a good sample size from the data that was provided from the Teamsters. There were 11 states. It was for a 5-year period, and it was an 88% response rate.
What type of response?
You know, and what type?
No, what does that mean?
That means of the I guess the unions or the groups, the companies who gave them data that they were able to use, it was 88% response for the companies they represented. Limitations is that, now this is interesting, self-reported cases, because, you know, you record the cases, so that is a self-report. On the other hand, this is the OSHA 300 logs which are required to do that, but sometimes you miss some. Then some of the delayed manifestation of some injuries and illnesses. There may be some non-work related confounders that you can't find because of the strains and sprains and the lifting. And then now I looked at this and I said, the unionized cohort could be a good thing. So it could be the strength of the study is that it was a unionized cohort. But on the other hand, it's a limitation as well, right? Because you're just looking at one particular. Right, yes.
Does the Teamsters only represent private companies, or is it going to municipal companies as well?
I don't think they represent too many municipal companies. Does anybody know that answer?
Mostly private.
Yeah, I don't think they represent any municipal, to my knowledge. And actually, Lamont Byrd, who's the director, had stated that he would also come and give this presentation. He backed out on me at the last minute, so I'm it. And so these were the recommendations that we came up with. That if employers would use engineering solutions, versus punishment, using compensation, training and retraining, and then let the government enact enforced safety policies. You know, we don't have an ergonomic standard, so perhaps, it's time for me to wrap up. Employees that you have, that they be responsible for also being a part of the program, the policies and programs that are adopted initially by the employers, that they be involved in the adoption of such policies and that they get buy-in that way. And then the safety as an overall And I'm not sure what he uses a WOL. Anybody out here? Because I didn't get a chance to look that up before I came. But,
Way of life.
Thank you. Safety is a way of life. Thank you. And then workers' unions could increase advocacy at all levels and collaborate if all these other things were in place. And then academia, better study design, multi-center, filling in the gaps. And then for the general public, we need to reduce our volume of trash. Yeah. Waste content and positioning. I'm not sure. I have to look it up. I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to look all this before, though. Okay. So, conclusions. Increasing waste generation and privatization of the waste industry make the solid waste industry one. A good safety program includes management commitment, employee participation, hazard assessment, hazard abatement, and medical management. I don't think that means compensation. We'll figure that out. The WHO's Integrated Solid Waste Management Program, which proposes waste prevention, recycling, composting, controlled burning, and sanitary landfilling. Cecil Lewis is more an international. I think his recommendation was on the line that we should look at some of WHO's policies and see what they say about integrated solid waste management. And that can help address some of the problems of waste management. And that's it.
One thing that is missing is that most of these are struck by injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the trade associations, the National Solid Waste Management Association, started a program of a slowdown to get around, which was community education, because what happens is the people that are striking the workers are just people who are upset that they're behind a garbage truck and it's stopping every 100 feet, and so they go zooming around.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the guy decides to get out of the truck, open the door, and come out.
Yep.
And so they decided that the best way to deal with that was community education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's had some decent results. I mean, they have, this guy David Biederman, who does safety for this organization, has looked at that, and they've been airing these spots, the public service spots, in varying communities.
Great.
And the Slow Down to Get Around campaign seems to be a good way to go.
Great. Thank you, and there are plenty of questions. I think you gotta hold them until the end. I see Lisa Zan that we'll wait, but please hold your questions and I'll go back and look up some of the things that I missed before while we're doing this. Thank you.